back on the Florida Roundup here on WDWeller, and thanks again for listening. So in November of last year, 75% of Floridians who voted supported guaranteeing hundreds of millions of dollars each year to the environment here in the Sunshine State. It's called Amendment 1. It directs dollars to all kinds of projects, land and water conservation, beaches, recreational trails, farms, the Everglades, and springs are all listed. Much of the money in the coming year would go toward existing projects, though, under the budget that lawmakers have hammered out in Tallahassee, fueling talk about environmental groups and their supporters in Tallahassee of a lawsuit over the spending plan. Democrat Mark Pafford of Palm Beach County is the House Minority Leader.
Having an ear to the ground and sensitivity to what the actual people want doesn't seem to be a priority in this chamber, and that's sad. It's a real failure. In Amendment 1, as I said, it's legislative malfeasance, and the state should be sued.
Now, the House Speaker, Republican Steve Crisafulli, maintained, though, on Monday of this week that lawmakers followed the language that voters approved in Amendment 1.
The budget shows it covers the acquisition and maintenance of land and water. So that was the overall premise of Amendment 1, and I certainly believe that what we've put in play achieves that.
The state budget comes the same week as the Florida Center for Investigative Reporting finds big differences in two state agencies and how they approach the threat of climate change to the Sunshine State. If you voted for Amendment 1, are you happy with how lawmakers are spending the money? Is Florida's environment better off? Join our conversation here on the Florida Roundup, 800-743-9576, 1-800-743-WLRN, and all over social media, Twitter and Facebook, look for the call sign WLRN. Tristram Corton is with us again from the Florida Center of Investigative Reporting, and Michael Auslin still with us with the Tampa Bay Times from Tallahassee. Michael, let's begin with Amendment 1. How much is the state spending on the environment in this budget? How's it compare?
Well, they're spending actually a few dozen million less than they did last year in the budget that lawmakers are going to vote on today. But the Amendment 1 piece of that is, you know, about $770 million in total. And it's being split up in a lot of ways that have environmentalists a little bit disappointed, I guess, is the nice way of putting it.
This was kind of sold to Florida voters as a land buying amendment, a land conservation amendment, although it was called land and water conservation. Have lawmakers followed through with that?
I think, you know, it depends on who you ask. A lot of the lawmakers are saying we followed the letter of the law. But the environmental groups that were pushing Amendment 1 have said that really the intent of voters was to put more money into land buying, more money into conserving the land that the state owns and the water resources that we have, and not put money, additional money, into salaries and benefits and expenses for agencies that have been existing and funded through other parts of the budget for years.
And now we've heard this threat of a lawsuit. What potentially could be the subject of the lawsuit, and who would be sued?
Well, it seems as though the state would be sued for, you know, violating the Constitution because Amendment 1 is now, you know, written in the state constitution.
Yeah.
By directing some of these funds to paying for salary and benefits and agency operations. No one's filed a lawsuit yet, but even people like Senator Tom Lee, who's in charge of the budget in the Senate, say that they expect lawsuits to be filed, even though they are defending that they haven't broken the law.
Tristram Corton is with us here with the Florida Center for Investigative Reporting. Tristram, your reporting a few months ago really sparked quite a debate within the state of Florida regarding climate change and the approach that the official agency responsible for the environment has regarding the threat of climate change here in Florida. Found a reluctance among the State Department of Environmental Protection to even use the term climate change. Here we are debating millions of dollars of environmental spending here. And you found that not all state agencies are equating or using climate change the same. What's your latest reporting find?
Yeah, so when I was doing the work on the Department of Environmental Protection and we were looking at their website and the decline in documents hosted on it that had anything to do with climate change, references to climate change, and then in the last few years, really all the documents on there that had anything to do with climate change came from the Florida Wildlife Commission. And I thought, wow, this is very strange. How are they able to operate so freely? And of course, I found out they're not under the auspices of the governor. They're an independent commission founded in 99. So, and they've taken climate change very seriously, and they study it, and they work on it, and they have computer models, and in its totality, not just sea level rise, which is the accepted, you know, reference in our state government. But I also wanted to say about Amendment 1 and the great reporting that Michael Auslan and Craig Pittman did, you know, that Amendment 1 itself was a response to the lack of funding given to the Florida Forever and the ARC land acquisition projects that were administered by the DEP and other agencies, FWC. So they our state legislators started to defund those in 2009, and a majority of the people in the state said, no, our environment is too important. Our economy hinges on it. And they passed a constitutional amendment.
Yeah, they did.
And here the politicians are messing with that.
And this,
it can't go unchallenged.
The in terms of how the state budget has played the Amendment $1 this time around, Tristram, that's what you're referring to.
Yeah.
It can't go unchallenged. You know, the argument in terms of cutting those Florida Forever dollars, Michael, back in 2009 was, listen, you had the Great Recession, you had the housing collapse, education was even getting cut in the state of Florida. The state was looking for dollars in its state budget anywhere, shape, place it could, and no dollar was necessarily sacrosanct, and so the environmental dollars became moved into the general fund and were used elsewhere. That led, Tristram, as you mentioned, to the Amendment 1, constitutionally guaranteeing the dollars, perhaps leading to a constitutional fight now over the budget process. And what's a risk here? Go ahead, Michael.
I mean, that's exactly, you know, the problem we see is that you know, money was drained from buying land, and the attempt to put more money in has not worked. I mean, there's going to be considerably more money going to infrastructure projects for sewers and drainage out of you know, the state's environmental funding than will go to buying land under Amendment 1. And so, you know, the priorities haven't necessarily shifted even as the state has moved out of recession and into, you know, more prosperous economic times with so much growth that environmentalists are saying we need to be addressing our natural resources before the whole thing gets paved over.
And to your reporting, Tristram, regarding the approach that the Department of Environment Protection, which is ultimately responsible for the environment of the state of Florida and sits under the guidance of the governor's office, its approach to the threat of climate change and its policies, and contrast that with what you found in your reporting with how the Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, which sits outside the governor's office, and its approach and seemingly embrace of the threat of climate change, full acknowledgement of it.
Right. So, you know, previously we reported on the fact that there was essentially a campaign of censorship within the Department of Environmental Protection not to use the terms climate change and global warming. And you could use the term sea level rise. And then the scientists in that department would tell me that if they wanted to do any work on this, they couldn't bring attention to themselves. So it was affecting the work being done. And they're a much larger agency than the FWC. I mean, their budget is in the billions. FWC's is in the millions. And the FWC, meanwhile, starting in 2007, they started holding seminars for their staff to bring them up on the latest climate science. They, they maintain a computer simulation program that's available to what was available to communities in the Keys to use in their planning purposes on water rise in marsh areas. They just seemed very proactive and progressive and very open about it. They said, yeah, we've been working on this. We recognize it was a difficult term. There was a period where it was a difficult term, and maybe we wouldn't push it in front of people's faces, but it didn't slow us down from the work that needed to be done.
As you did the reporting on these stories, Tristram Corton with the Florida Center for Investigative Reporting, describe the reaction that your questions received from the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission regarding how the agency deals with climate change and the reaction within the agency of the Department of Environmental Protection.
Well, I mean, you know, Florida Fish and Wildlife were very open. They weren't promoting themselves to me. They didn't reach out to me. And I'm sure they're aware of the controversy, but they were just very straightforward. They didn't address any other agency or any other department. The DEP, you know, just declines to talk to us now. I asked them for all their current climate change initiatives, and they sent, frankly, a kind of a rambling email describing all their efforts in sea level rise, which involves a pilot study here and a 20-year estimate there. Not really far-reaching stuff. You know, back in 2011, the first year that Governor Scott took office, Michael's colleague Craig Pittman asked the DEP also for its initiatives in climate change, and they said, "We have no initiatives. We're not doing anything about climate change."
Michael, when you look at Tristram's reporting, you look at Craig Pittman's reporting, your colleague with the Tampa Bay Times and Environment, you look at the reporting you've done around how this legislature and this administration are dealing with year one of Amendment $1, $770 million of it. How would you describe the Scott's administration's strategy on environmental funding?
Well, I think the deal with silence on climate change sort of speaks for a lot of the issues, which is that people aren't taking this seriously in the administration, and funding's a piece of that. Seeing the possibility or the probability of lower environmental funding this year than we saw last year, right after voters said they wanted otherwise, I think that speaks to how the legislature is moving forward as well.
And in the meantime, we heard from even the Vatican of all sources on climate change this week with the papal encyclical, 184 pages. A lot of it, Tristram, focused on climate change. Does this change the debate in Florida or even the United States regarding this issue?
What debate? What debate? Climate change is happening. There is,
I guess, the debate over addressing it, and in some corners right. with the Florida Department of Environmental Protection, whether or not to use the term.
Yeah, I mean, Rick Scott is not a Catholic. I don't know. The reality is the reality, and there's a lot of work for government to do. That they have to lead us through this, to question the best way to get people to address. I mean, it just seems like we're just wasting time on that. The debate is about how much of this is human related, mm-hmm. our activity, which still doesn't matter to us, I don't think, because the climate is still changing and it's going to affect us in very dramatic ways.
The government, faith, and science all colliding here this week in the state of Florida. Tristram Korten with the Florida Center for Investigative Reporting. Always great to hear from you and share your reporting. Thanks. And Michael Oslin with the Tampa Bay Times, reporter at the Tallahassee Bureau with the paper covering the state legislature. Thanks again, Michael.